Hello and welcome to iVow. I'm Jenny Prisk, your host for this podcast conversation, and delighted to welcome to the conversation today Alicia Wright, who is a peace writer for a peace woman or a woman peacemaker, Khurshid Bano of Pakistan, who is in residence at the Joan B. Kroc Institute for Peace and Justice at the University of San Diego. Alicia Wright studies journalists' narrative writing processes in translation in India's multilingual political and media systems, which sounds like one of the most impressive things I've ever read. In addition, she is a doctoral student in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. She received her Bachelor of Arts in Comparative Literature from Hamilton College and her Master of Arts in Media Studies from Syracuse University. Alicia, welcome to iVow. We're delighted to have you with us.
Hi, Jenny. I'm excited to be here.
Good. Thank you. So this is the first time for you that you have been a peace writer, or you are a peace writer, for one of the women peacemakers in residence at the Joan B. Kroc Institute for Peace and Justice. How did you become a writer? How did you find the program, and how did this all come to pass?
I would say in many ways, as you read, I've been all over the map. And so my journey here came through all of those networks. I would like to say it was some big story, but it was actually, I got an email when I was in Madison from Syracuse, from a group I'd been involved in, and I never really paid much attention to their emails. But I did this one. And it was an email about this program. And I had just finished my third year in my doctoral program and just felt that I needed to do something different for a little while. I've been doing a lot of academic writing, journalistic writing. This just sounded like a creative project I wanted to take on. So I applied, and here I am.
And here you are. And we're delighted that that worked out for you. Is this different from the writing you've done in the past, because you're writing, I believe, narrative non-fiction, because you're getting the truth. So is it different from anything you've done before?
It's completely different. And I am loving this process.
Oh, good. I was hoping you were going to say it was a positive experience.
Yeah,
good.
I mean, I love writing. I've always wanted to be a writer, but I've really been a student for the most part and been doing a lot of writing as a student and as a researcher, which is something I love. I love being able to study and learn new things and write about those. But there's been something really wonderful being in this space, being creative, also telling someone's story, being able to take all of these facts and make them something really creative. It's a process with Khurshid of kind of sharing ideas back and forth, seeing how it is that she wants something written. It's been amazing. It's amazing to kind of be in this headspace as a writer now and really feel like I'm a creative, creative writer.
And documenting an extremely important story. So how does the relationship between you as the peace writer and Khurshid as the peacemaker, how does that develop? I mean, do you sit down and ask her some bold questions, or how does this all evolve?
Yeah, my relationship with Khurshid is something very special now. I actually have a funny story around that that I've told Khurshid, and we had a good laugh over it. When I was told she was my peacemaker, I got this email introducing her, letting me know a little bit about her, and I heard she was the first female labor union leader in Khyber Pakhtunkhwa.
You can pronounce that very well.
I have been taught by Khurshid. that was the test of whether I could really write her narrative. I still think I mess it up sometimes. But
it sounded good to me.
You know, I try. But I got this email and learned about her, and I was terrified to work with her. She was so intimidating on paper. She had done so much. I thought she's going to walk into a room and own that room and know exactly what she wants, and I'm just going to be grasping at her shirt tails trying to keep up, because she's going to be so unimpressed and not, she's going to be like, who are you? That was my impression of Khurshid on paper. And she is extraordinary. having gotten to know her, I can't believe the things she's done. But she's also one of the kindest and most fun people I've met. We laugh all the time. Mm. She's always happy. When I'm not, she tries to make me happy. She has another side to her, too. I've seen another side mm-hmm. in telling these stories. She has been through a lot, and she's amazing, but she's not that scary woman that I thought she was.
Well, I'm glad to hear
that. Yeah, yeah. No, I don't know. I mean, if you meet Khorshid, she's smiling mm-hmm. and instantly one of your closest friends.
And I have had the good fortune of meeting her, and she is a very feminine, very soft, very gentle woman, but with a heart of steel, I would imagine, from what she's done. So you're taking the story of a Muslim woman, and are there areas, because she's Muslim, that she prefers to keep private, or has she been very open with you, and how do you get the stories out?
She's been very open with me. I hope that I've heard all the stories she's wanted to tell. I hope that she has felt comfortable opening up to me, and I know we've had some very difficult conversations.
You know, you share any of that with us? I know I'm going to ask you to read a narrative. Is perhaps that describing one of the difficult parts that she had to tell? Because if it is, I won't ask you now.
What I'll be reading is not one of her, it's one of her most difficult experiences, but it was easy for her to talk about it. It's something that shaped her life completely. Mm-hmm. Other things have been very personal, things about her wedding, the marriage night, experiences with women in Peshawar, the attacks they've been under, the things she's seen. I just recently finished a story about the bomb blast that she's been, the experience been a part of, mm-hmm. Which was a painful thing to have to write. And of course she told it to me very eloquently and mm-hmm. composed. So, like, that's something I noticed with her. She's fun-loving, but she's composed. So, yeah, it hasn't really been hard for me to get in to Khorshid's mind, and I spend a lot of time with her, so I've gotten to know her personality, and mm-hmm. that's something I really try to bring in the writing. I really try to show who Khorshid is and make it feel like you're sitting there with her and that you can feel her energy, because if I could describe Khorshid in maybe two words, it would be energetic and fiery. Mm-hmm. She's just always ready to go. She's got such an energy. There's not anger in Khorshid, so fiery is not an angry description. It's passionate.
Passion. That is a good word. Now, you've made me incredibly curious about her, even more so. Would you give us an introduction to the piece of narrative that you've brought? Tell us, perhaps put it in its setting, and then read us the piece you have with you.
Yeah, sure. So this piece comes from a larger story about Khorshid's life in college. And Khorshid was the first woman in her family to be able to get to that stage in her education. She pushed very hard, and her father gave her permission to go. Mm-hmm. It was an all-girls college, and it was during the reign of Zia-ul-Huq, who was a leader that put a lot of limitations on protests, women's rights, mm-hmm. Public meetings, these kinds of things. But mm-hmm. within the school, of course, she became very active with some friends who, and they would carry out protests. They would, and usually silent, very peaceful rallies. Mm-hmm. But some of her friends were punished for this and expelled from the college right before their final exams to mm-hmm. get their degree. So Khorshid organized a big movement behind that. And then this story picks up towards the end of that movement, and we see what happens to Khorshid because of her participation as the organizer. Mm. So it's from the story titled Jumping Over Fences in Chadors. The room was crowded, but Khorshid only noticed two people sitting there. Her father and her brother sat side by side on a sofa opposite the principal's desk. Khorshid felt sick. When entering the principal's office, Khorshid found herself standing to the left of the principal's desk. It was a large wooden desk with a beautiful shine. It looked perfect in the room, a big room with high ceilings and old wood. Along the ceiling, detailed carvings of flowers and leaves ran the length of the room. Across from the desk, a long sofa so that people meeting with the principal could sit comfortably. Another sofa positioned on the right side of the room, adjacent to the desk, and then two chairs on the left side. A table stood in the middle of the room with old books placed in a planned pile to never be opened, but to look scholarly. The tray of tea sat next to the stack on the table. The assistant principal and several teachers were in the room too, but Khursheed only saw her father. The principal explained what had been occurring on the campus that week. "Sir, you need to sign this paper. It states that your daughter, Khursheed Bano, will not participate in any political activities on the campus again. If she does, she will be kicked out of the college, and a letter will be sent to all other colleges barring her admission," the principal threatened. "But sir, your daughter is a very bright student. She has impeccable marks, but she cannot do these things." Her father discussed nothing, simply signed the paper. Khursheed was not asked any questions. When the paper was signed, her father and brother stood and walked towards her, grabbing her arm and leading her out the gate to an auto rickshaw waiting on the road. They rode in silence, but she was sure the sound in Khursheed's head of her drumming heart and her panicked thoughts was audible. At home and through the door, her brother's screams began, berating Khursheed for shaming the family. Her mother came from the kitchen, confused and worried. Her husband never arrived home this early. "Keep your daughter in her room. Don't let her come out. Don't let her leave this house," her father instructed. Turning to Khursheed, he flatly said, "Your college is finished. It's time for your nikah, your marriage." Khursheed was devastated. She had come so far and fought so hard for her education, and now she threw it away. She felt so guilty. She knew that standing up for her friends was right. They deserved justice. But she had made a promise to her father that she broke. He may not have always shown her love, at least outwardly, but he had given her freedom. She had come to know this as his sign of love. Now he would arrange her nikah, send her off to her new husband's family. Khursheed had seen so much in her childhood, wars between nations and wars between men and women. She had always fought against the wars, tried in her own tiny ways as a little girl to challenge the norms she saw and help other children find peace and education. In one day, Khursheed lost it all the hard work. Her father ended her education. She saw no hope, no way to finish college, no way to get a job, no way but to become like so many other Pakistani women, wives and mothers and silent.
Oh my goodness, I feel as though that should be followed with silence at the end of that very powerful and so richly written to Alicia. It was like being there. We could feel her pain. Did you feel her pain when she told the story? Although I'm imagining it probably didn't come out just as you've written it. It probably came out over a series of meetings. But how was it for her to retell that?
I mean, this is a huge moment for Khursheed. When she left college, it was devastating for her. It really was. And so when she told this part of the story, it was sad. I think she's come to terms over the years with that moment. I know she has. One of the big things she talks about is how change starts in the family. And in the rest of the story, we learn about all of this change. Mm. This story did come out in little pieces. We spent one whole interview just having her describe the campus. And she had so much fun doing that. And it was so neat to hear her talk about this college. And so I went home and I Googled pictures of it, and there it was, and it made so much sense. Her relationship with her friends in college were in another story that she told in another interview, in which she just kind of was describing different people she got to know and the different things she did in school. And then this moment in which she gets in some trouble, she described in another interview. So it was in bits and pieces, different interviews. So sometimes we would approach something and she would have the story. She's been a great partner in this creative process because she came knowing some of the stories she wanted to tell, but then also in the process of us working together, uncovered other stories that we thought were important to really understanding Khursheed. So she's great in kind of building a story slowly, but and that's kind of her process.
And very,
that's pieces built
slowly. Yes, it is, isn't it? And with a lot of good foundation and truth, and you've certainly found the truth of that. You could be in the room with her the way you described how the very room looked. So, Alicia, you have described how telling her story and reliving it has provided some change for her. But for you, how have you changed hearing these stories?
There were a few times in hearing her story, I would walk away from the interviews distraught. Mm-hmm. These are hard stories. There were some stories that really stuck with me and have impacted how I look at things. It has changed me as a writer. I now have a creative voice that I think before I hadn't really gotten into. I believe this is a relationship I'm going to have for a long time with Khorshid. I am excited to see all the work she'll continue doing. It's hard to hear all these stories and not become friends with the peacemaker because you're learning every step of their life.
You must get to know them better than some of their friends and family do.
Yeah, I think so, and she's expressed that some too. I hope that, and I think that it has in the writing, it has helped her connect with some members of her family even more because they are also now seeing these stories, and that's exciting. Yeah, it makes me want to do more of this work and tell more stories. I think that there's space and that we need these kinds of stories beyond the Peacemakers program, but I think this is a service that is amazing because they're telling these stories, and I just hope that more stories can be produced, and I hope that I can be a part of telling more stories.
And we hope so too, because it's been such a pleasure to hear about Khorshid and the relationship you've developed, and I guess most importantly hearing that particular story that you shared, which is very powerful, knowing the power of and importance of education for women in these underdeveloped countries. It's been an absolute pleasure talking with you this afternoon, Alicia. And I just wonder if you have any final thoughts about the process or anything you'd like to share with our listeners.
This has been an amazing process. I have been lucky to have these 10 weeks with Khorshid and with all four of the peacemakers, Khorshid and the other three. It's really made me understand the need to just learn about people and ask questions. I think it's a way to really, I've connected with so many people through this program, and that is something I wish every person had the opportunity to do beyond being a writer and getting to interview. Even if I had just met these women during one of their talks, I would have felt incredibly enriched by that. And so it's really just talking to people, hearing people's stories. That's what I would like people to take away.
The ancient art of storytelling and its importance. Alicia Wright, thank you for joining us today and sharing your role as a peace writer for Khorshid Bano. Thank you again for sharing your talents and your writing and your words today.
Thank you so much for having me.